sit right back, then you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip.
In the year 1831, biologist Charles Darwin began a fateful journey on the HMS Beagle. On that journey, Darwin formulated the controversial theory of evolution, which has impacted society down to this day.
Our goal is to punch holes in that theory, so we'd like to welcome you to
Sink the Beagle.
Fire one, Captain!
Way to go, Stan.
Why, thank you, John. That was not bad shooting for an old guy, huh?
Glub, 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 glub.
I am Stan Hudson.
And I'm John Kurlinski, and we'd like to welcome you to another fun-filled episode of
Sink the Beagle, where we take a very lighthearted look at the serious issues of creationism, evolutionism, where we came from, maybe where we're going.
And we are unabashed creationists and tell you what we think all the time anyway, whether you like it or not.
Unabashed means we are unafraid of bashing, and that's what we do here, and we do like to sink the Beagle, the HMS Beagle that Charles Darwin sailed on, and hopefully sink him with his theory. Now, today, what are we going to talk about, John?
Well, today, I think today, we got a really good creation evolution talk. We're going to talk about saving Social Security, Stan.
Well, that was an issue in the election. Save Social Security. What is the best way that you and I can save Social Security?
Well, the best way, I think, as I can see it right now, with the cost projections and everything, Stan, if we can just get everybody who is over 80 just to die.
Check out early, that would really help.
But the trouble is, we're almost living too long.
Yes, so please check out soon, and this message is from Sink the Beagle.
So you can feel good about it. No. Actually,
Seriously, back when Social Security was established, FDR and all those people way back when, people were living only to 65.
And barely 70 if you were good, and 80 was old man.
Yeah, very few, and so... You know, there wasn't a lot of strain on the cost of it, but nowadays people are living longer.
Yeah.
The 80s is not uncommon.
80s is very, very, very...
Or in the case of Fred Hale...
Oh, who's Fred Hale, Stan?
Well, in New York State, just a few days ago, prior to this recording, Fred Hale... recognized as the world's oldest man, just a few days short of his 114th birthday.
A dozen days short.
Passed away, yeah.
Oh, man, he was old. I guess he had a few characteristics of Fred. He was a Boston Red Sox fan, and he got to see his team finally win the World Series.
Well, he was around for the first time in 1918, or the last time they did it prior to that. And, yeah, he lived long enough
to see it happen again.
Talk about your miracles.
That's a miracle of miracles.
Yeah. To live to 113.
No, to see the Red Sox win again. That was the miracle. Anyway, he was from Maine, really born on December 1st, 1890. That's before man discovered flight, so to speak, or able to fly, before the Wright brothers, before there were ever planes.
That would mean he'd have recollections from the 19th century.
Yep, Jack the Ripper was the book that was just being written by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle.
Jack the Ripper was a real guy. Yeah,
he was a real guy talking in the streets. Yeah, when he
in
was
in London,
alive.
And Arthur Conan Doyle was writing Sherlock Holmes stuff.
Yep,
he lived to see 21 presidents. Can you imagine that? 21
come and
presidents.
Go. Yeah. I wonder which one he voted for. I don't know. Anyway,
Social Security guy, I guess.
He was already in his 70s when Neil Armstrong walked on the moon. He was reported in the Guinness Book of World Record, becoming the oldest person to have a driver's license at the age of 108. Did it say he lived in Florida? We don't know. He might have. I was down there recently. I think that there were some people that were real close to his age that still were given license, and I was wondering why.
Oh, man. Why. And he had a simple life, and he seemed to just enjoy. It didn't take much to keep him happy, but 113 years, John.
No, but that's nothing, Stan. I mean,
how do you mean?
Well, compared to this French lady. I mean, there was actually one noble French woman that we have found. Well, that's the only one we found so far, but no, actually, she was a real sweet lady. She died a few years back in 1997. Her name was Jean Clement.
Yes.
I think I pronounced that correctly.
It's something like
Jean
that.
Jean Clement. Anyway, Jean Clement was destined to become really the longest living person in modern history before she died in 1997 with all of her faculties in place.
Clear mind.
She was 122 years, 164 days old.
122 and a half.
Why do we like Jean Clement? Well, she did America and the world a favor.
What was that? What did she
Well,
do?
There was a lawyer who struck a deal with her back in the earlier when she was only in her 90s. So remember, that's about 30 years
her
before she died.
Her estate lawyer, yeah.
Her estate lawyer said, well, listen, I'll pay you out of my rich lawyer business a lot of money for you to live comfortably until you die, and I get your apartment and your estate and all your valuables when you die.
Mm-hmm.
And I get all your stuff.
Yep.
And she goes, oh, good deal. And so the lawyer's estate and the lawyer, his trust firm or whatever he set up for this, began to pay her and pay her.
And then the lawyer died.
And pay her. And the lawyer
and
died.
His
she outlived the lawyer, and his estate had to keep paying her forever and ever.
Oh.
And so her estate got paid off lots of times over, because he thought he was going to make
expense.
A killing on her, and the lawyer loses. Yay!
Yay.
Everyone said yay.
Yeah,
no.
All said amen, yes. Okay. Well, human lifespan, and that's really what we're talking about. Obviously, the Bible talks about quite a variety in human lifespans through history. When you go back to the first chapters of Genesis, it seems like that
this
the Bible,
is nothing.
Yeah, 113, 122, that's nothing.
Nothing.
In some cases, that's when people were starting to have kids.
Yeah, they were waiting till they were in the hundreds to start having their kids. That's not a bad idea.
Mom, Dad, I think I would like to marry when I'm going to put it off. I'll wait till I'm 120.
Oh, okay.
Okay,
fine.
Son, that's fine.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. Just think
good
it's
idea.
A good
you know,
idea.
It's kind of, you know,
you're
it's
a little
an
more mature
decision.
By then. Yeah,
people are living to be 900 on a regular basis. Adam was 930. Noah at the time of the flood.
950. Or 600 at the time of the flood.
Yeah, and he lived to 950. And, you know, the very famous, the oldest man.
Methuselah.
69, yeah.
Something like that. Yeah, almost,
so almost 1,000 years.
And yet, you know, it's interesting, though, Stan. There is a plan, I think, that God had in place, and the book of Isaiah records it, that if men were in a relationship with God, in a covenant-keeping relationship with God, keeping his law as he intended, and they would have preparing the world for Christ to come on his first advent, what the Jewish nation sort of failed to do, but had they been faithful, they'd have grown to be such a wealthy, prosperous, wonderful nation that even then the Bible said a man that died at 100 would have thought to have been young.
Wow.
So if there is a correlation between following faithfully with God's intentions and longevity of life, even in a world of sin. Because when we want to say, what happened? Why don't people live to be 900 anymore? The simple reason, one of the basic reasons, is because of sin.
Well, first of all, man was never designed to die. We were meant to live forever. God designed us that way. And really, in our own thinking, we have a hard time understanding what death is. And maybe one of the reasons why Eve had a difficulty in understanding when God warned her, don't eat of that fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In that day you do it, you'll die. Well, what's die? Nothing had ever died before.
And they lived quite a while even after that, so they say, well, what does that mean to have died?
What happened even to Eve physically, perhaps, at that fall, and Adam when he ate as well?
It's interesting. By the time you get to the writings of the psalmist, and we have sort of a torpedo text today, we'll do it in a little different fashion, more of a dramatic type of reading.
Okay.
But here's what the psalmist said. By the time you get to David, they sort of said it this way. As for the days of our life, they contain 70 years, or if due to strength, 80 years. Yet their pride is but labor and sorrow, for soon it is gone, and we fly away. And that is today's torpedo text.
Thought for the day.
Thought for the day. No. In other words, the Bible is saying that people, if they're lucky, they live to be 70 or 80.
And that was in the time of David, and by that time, lifespans had
already
gone to roughly
70, 60, 70 years old. And now, we're because of medicine and a few extra shots and a flu shot or two, we make it to 80.
Yeah.
It's getting real close to 80 is the average age now in North America.
Yeah, that's right.
And that partly, you know, really,
which
though,
is tough on Social Security, but anyway, that's
you know, but the reality isn't that people are living that much longer. When you really reflect the true death rate or the true age of death isn't reflected so much by the length of life as it is by the lower infant mortality.
Infant mortality and also diseases that used to take out children and young people and so forth.
The those are the ones that we've
typhoids, controlled. Right. And so we've caught those lower level things. It's made the average look better.
The average look a lot better. So the average still isn't much more than 70 for most people.
Yeah, I remember radio program where a doctor was on there and people called and said, doctor, what's the best thing I can do for myself to make sure I'd have a nice long life. And he said, it's very simple. Choose your parents carefully.
Yeah, choose your parents.
And it's true. Some of this is genetic. You know, this French woman's family lived on average 10 years longer than the national average.
Yeah.
And I've got, may I get her genes. My great-grandma lived to be 101, one of her children 100. I hope that, you know.
That
but, but then on the other hand, who wants to be old and wrinkled now?
And who wants to live in this crazy world?
Exactly.
Know,
bring it
going
on.
Going down the hill. Mm-hmm. You know, but really, I like that phrase you use, though. Choose your parents wisely. You know, we cannot choose our length of life, mm-hmm. but we still can choose our destiny, so to speak. The Bible says that, you know, God doesn't hold your poor buzzard luck of being born into this world a sin. He doesn't mm-hmm. hold that against you.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he offers you to align yourself with a new, so to speak, genetic line or a new mm-hmm. parental line. He offers us to be sons and daughters of God
wow.
in Jesus Christ.
I like that.
So God says, you know, if you really want to have long life, eternal life,
mm-hmm.
you choose which parents you want. You have your Adam
mm-hmm.
and Eve, those are one choice you have, or you have Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You can choose the first Adam or the second Adam as your genetic, so to speak, not genetic line, but your lifeline,
mm-hmm.
your real lifeline.
Mm-hmm.
And if you choose Christ, you have eternal life.
Now, I didn't want to get too far away from that 900-year thing. It is evident that some things happened in the world at that time. After the flood, apparently the atmosphere changed. There were several other things that happened to the environment. The sun became more powerful, less protected, and there's a lot of aging factors that apparently came in. And we do know after the flood that men's lifespans were still fairly long. But Adam was told literally, if he disobeyed God, dying you shall die. And something mm-hmm. took place at that moment in the garden. Something began to break down. Something, the wrinkles started to show up and things started to happen.
Deterioration.
God never intended for yeah. us to experience. He wants us. He created us for eternal life.
Yeah, entropy happens, folks. Mm-hmm. It happens. And people start breaking down, wearing out. And that was never God's intention. And it was never our destiny that he intended mm-hmm. for us. So that's why we want to advise everybody to say, you know, we live in a world that is broken and busted. We're living on, quote, borrowed time, and I truly believe that. You know, you have but we have time to make the right decisions. We have time to initiate the right practices that mm-hmm. not only can, by the way, it's still good to follow the biblical covenantal health practices.
Absolutely.
It's been shown that people who just follow some of the basic dietary things
yes.
of the Bible live at least 7 years longer than the average population.
Yeah, you're
and
not,
we're not talking about childhood prevention here.
You're not talking about, wasn't that only for the Jews?
No, it wasn't only for the Jews. It was for everybody. God entire mm-hmm. diet to be for everybody. If you live a little more mm-hmm. healthy, mm-hmm. you don't partake of a lot of extra substances in your body, mind-altering and body-altering and physiology-altering substances.
And wrinkle-producing.
Wrinkle-producing. You can live longer.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you want to live longer in a world of sin and pain and sorrow is another question. But also,
actually, we want to discourage that because we're trying to save
Social Security. Oh, that's right.
We Let's are get back to the theme of the program, man. Come on, get on board here.
But there also, not only those people who followed the biblical principles live longer, their quality of life to the very end was mm-hmm. better generally
mm-hmm.
as well.
Mm-hmm.
But the real reality is that you and I can choose to have life. Mm-hmm. Life is a choice at this point.
And for those who are in Christ, death becomes a sleep.
Yeah.
In fact, that's the way the Creator views death for us.
Yeah.
Because those who have Christ have life.
Yes. And it's not the idea of, you know, pro-choice or pro, you know, abortion, so to speak. This is life, the true life, eternal life, which is a choice you and I are given each day if we, so to speak, choose wisely.
Thanks for listening to Sink the Beagle. We'd like to send you a special gift just for being with us today. Write to our email address, beagle@lifetalk.net, and ask for your free copy of Dr. Dwight Nelson's book called Built to Last, A Thoughtful Look at Creation and Evolution. Ask for Built to Last when you write to beagle@lifetalk.net. And be sure to listen in next time for Sink the Beagle.
So join us here each week, my friends. You're sure to get a smile from 7 Standard.